Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, Text Number 15. Atak Papiyasim Yonim Asurim Yahi Duramate Iteha Buyo Mahatam Nakarta Putra Kilvisham Atak Papiyasim Yonim Asurim Yahi Duramate Iteha Buyo Mahatam Nakarta Putra Kilvisham Atak Papiyasim Yonim Asurim Yahi Duramate Iteha Buyo Mahatam Nakarta Putra Kilvisham. Atak. Therefore, Papiyasim, most sinful, Yonim, to the species of life, Asurim, demoniac, Yahi, go, Duramate, O impudent one, Yata, so that, Iha, in this world, Buya, again, Mahatam, to great personalities, Na, not, Karta, will commit, Putra, my dear son, Kilvisham, any offense. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons, so that you will not commit such an offense again toward exalted saintly persons in this world. Purport, one should be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, of whom Lord Shiva is the best. While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav as Hati Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu, but Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father, Mahadev, who is the father of the living entities conditioned within this material world. The goddess Durga is called Mother, and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnav. Because Chitraketu is undoubtedly a Vaishnav, he might have been surprised that Parvati had cursed him. Therefore, the goddess Parvati addressed him as Putra or son. Everyone is the son of Mother Durga, but she is not an ordinary mother. As soon as there is a small discrepancy in a demon's behavior, Mother Durga immediately punishes the demon so that he may come to his senses. This is explained by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratiya mameva ye pravadante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also, for no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. Shadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. Without serving a servant of Krishna, one cannot be elevated to being a servant of Krishna himself. Therefore, Mother Parvati spoke to Trichaketu exactly like a mother who says to her naughty child, "My dear child, I am punishing you so that you won't do anything like this again." This tendency of a mother to punish her child is found even in Mother Jasoda, who became the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Jasoda punished Krishna by binding him and showing him a stick. Thus it is the duty of a mother to chastise her beloved son, even in the case of the Supreme Lord. It is to be understood that Mother Durga was justified in punishing Trichaketu. This punishment was a boon to Trichaketu, because after taking birth as a demon, Vritrasura, he was promoted directly to Vaikuntha. Atak papiyasim yonim asrim yahi durmate iteha buya mahatam nakarta putra kil visham. O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons, so that you will not commit such an offense again toward exalted saintly persons in this world. Om Agaratavananda Nama Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasutam Deve Koravani Vijarne Nirvisesa Shunivari Paskatya De Satarne. Might as well stand up before we... Number of points I mentioned in this verse. One is that one should not offend a Vaishnav. Another is that it is proper to punish one's dependents. Chanakapana says that if one doesn't chastise or punish his dependents, then they'll become spoiled. Therefore, one should know who is a Vaishnav, and therefore one will refrain from criticizing. As it says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasedriyeta dikshasti chat pranitivis chavajantam isham shushu shubhi chavajanam ananya anya indati sunirideyam ipsita sangalabdhya. So one has to learn to discriminate between different types of devotees and act towards them accordingly. The first devotee is mentioned, Krishneti yasya giritam manasedriyeta, that if one engages in service to Krishna, even by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, then one is understood to be a devotee, and that one should offer respects to such a person, at least within one's mind. But there are persons who chant the Hare Krishna mantra, they're known as sahajiyas, but they have their own philosophies. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has told us that there are 19 principal groups of sahajiyas known as Saki Bekis, Gauranga Nagaris, Owls, Bowls, etc. So these different groups, they accept Krishna or they accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they engage in different types of mental speculations and sense gratification in the name of devotional service. So although one should respect them within his mind, he should avoid intimate association. The idea is that training in Krishna consciousness is training to see the positive. Therefore, as it says, the bumblebees, they go towards the honey, and the flies, they fly towards the stool. So one should try to become like a bumblebee and try to find the good qualities and avoid those qualities which are undesirable. So, for those who are engaged in activities against Vaishnava principles, against religious principles, that one may respect them for whatever good they're doing, but one should not intimately associate with them. On the other hand, there are devotees who are initiated, although, and they're sincerely following the devotional practices, serving the deity under the guidance of the spiritual master, engaging in preaching work. So they should be offered assistance. One should offer them obeisances, which also means that one should associate with them in different types of friendly behavior, and also assist them in whatever services they're rendering. On the other hand, those who are ananya shunya ridayam ipsita sangalabdhya, those who are advanced in pure devotional service, and here it mentions sunya labdha, that their hearts are devoid of this tendency to criticize others. The material world principally means being envious, trying to find some fault. It is not that there is not fault. This world is known as, especially Kali Yuga, is Kalo Dosha Nide Rajan. It's an ocean of faults. There are so many faults, but there's one good quality. Yasti Eko Mahagunan Kirtanaya, that if one chants the name of Krishna, Mukta Sangha Paramvrijat, then one will obtain liberation. So especially in this age, one should not waste his time trying to find faults, because he'll have to wait here till the end of Kali Yuga, because there are so many faults to find here. It's unlimited. It's a whole ocean of faults. But if one is interested in finding one good quality, it's if someone chants Hare Krishna. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna doesn't mean just to officially chant Hare Krishna and then everything's all right and we go and do whatever we like. Chanting Hare Krishna means to chant Hare Krishna sincerely with a desire to actually be engaged in Krishna's service. Just like we're chanting Hare Krishna, oh, the most attractive personality, oh, the person, my enjoyer, please engage me in your service. So this should actually be chanted sincerely. And this is the good quality of Kali Yuga, that if we chant Hare Krishna and engage in devotional service, then what had taken many, many lifetimes in previous ages to obtain can be obtained even in one lifetime. Krite Dhyayato Vishnum Tretayam Parayacharyayam Dwarpayam Jagno Mukai Dwarpayam Parayacharya Kalo Tadari Kirtanam. That in the Treta Yuga or in the Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, people would have to engage in meditation for many thousands of years. And in Treta Yuga, people would engage in great sacrifices. And in Dwarpa Yuga, people would engage in elaborate temple worship. But simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, the sage, one could become purified and become eligible even to return to Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. But the only qualification is that one has to become a servant of the Vaishnavas. The opposite quality of offending the Vaishnavas, the actual positive quality, is that one has to become a servant of the Vaishnavas. But if one doesn't become a servant of the Vaishnavas, then it's assured he'll be ruined. Mogaisha mogha karmano mogha jnana vicheta saha rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim moanim shritaha. That one's hopes for liberation, one's fruitive activities, one's culture of knowledge will all be defeated. Even when Srila Prabhupada went to America, he said the good quality about America is that they're allowing us to preach and distribute books here. Of course, they're trying to gradually stop that, but at least they have some, that is the good quality. That if the government allows us some preaching to go on. Otherwise, it becomes ruined, and Krishna will come in some way and remove such a demoniac government which is impeding the Sankirtan movement. For instance, there is one authority, as we mentioned yesterday, Ramachandra Khan. So Ramachandra Khan, he became envious of a Vaishnav, Haridas Thakur, and he sent one prostitute to pollute him. So every day the prostitute, she went to try to entice Haridas Thakur, but Haridas Thakur, he was completely absorbed in chanting the holy name, and therefore he did not become attracted. Instead, he converted the prostitute, and she became a devotee. so much of a devotee that she sold all her possessions and she sat before a tulsi tree and also chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day, simply by the influence of Haridas Thakur. But later on, when Lord Nityananda came with his associates to the house of Ramachandra Khan, then Ramachandra Khan, when he was informed that Lord Nityananda was there, he said, let him find the house of a milkman to stay in. That it is not proper that he stays in this place, because he may contaminate it. So at this time, Lord Nityananda with his associates, he was in India. They used to build the houses in such a way that they have an outside part, which was known as the Durga Mandapa, where the goddess Durga would be worshipped. And on the inside, part of the house, Ramachandra Khan was staying with his family. So Lord Nityananda became disturbed a little bit and said, yes, this place is not even fit for a meat-eating malecha and yavana. So immediately he left with his associates, and Ramachandra Khan was so envious that he ordered his servants to dig up the dirt where Lord Nityananda's feet had touched and throw the dirt far away. So, because of this offense against Lord Nityananda and against the Vaishnava Haridas Thakur, when he offended Haridas Thakur, he had planted a seed of offense which later grew into a tree, and the tree bore fruits, and later on Ramachandra Khan, he had to eat those fruits. So Ramachandra Khan, his business primarily was collecting taxes, but he was cheating the government out of so much money. And therefore, the governor's representative came and he demanded the money from Ramachandra Khan. And so Ramachandra Khan couldn't pay the money. The person became disturbed and he arrested Ramachandra Khan and his family and killed one cow right where Lord Nityananda was and began to roast it right in his house. And then, after some time, for 3 days he plundered the city where the village where Ramachandra Khan was staying. So in this way, because of his offense against Krishna and Vaishnav, therefore his whole material and spiritual situation became completely ruined. On the other hand, we find examples of those who have served Vaishnavas, and simply by a little service, they became so much benefited. That if one gets the mercy of Vaishnava, as we mentioned, just like the dog who was accompanying Shivananda Sain, because he had become the dog, the servant, or the associate of Shivananda Sain, he became so elevated that he immediately went back to Vaikuntha. There are many examples of associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that simply by getting his glance, they became devotees of Krishna, so devoted that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, others, when they heard it, they also became devotees of Krishna. So if one gets the mercy of Krishna and Vaishnava, then he gets unlimited benefit, and if one becomes envious, then he gets unlimited problems. So even today, we are trying to give people the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas by distributing books, by getting people to engage in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, getting them to do something that the acharyas have recommended that people should do to engage in Krishna's service. That if people do this, then they're actually serving Vaishnavas. Even we coming to Mangalarti, or doing our different services, this is also service to the Vaishnavas, because this regulated devotional service has been recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami and the disciple succession. And therefore, by performing these activities, this is also Vaishnava Seva, service to Guru and Krishna. Therefore, one should try to understand what is Vaishnava Seva, and at the same time, one should avoid those things which are displeasing to the Vaishnavas. And here it mentions that Mother Jasoda, she used to chastise Krishna, because it is the duty of a parent to raise the child in such a way as that they learn how to behave properly, especially towards the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada told the leaders of Gurukul that if you simply train your children or the pupil, the student, that every time they see a saintly person, they offer respects, obeisances, he said that will be the perfection of their training. Not that they become scholars and can juggle Sanskrit grammar, or they become very learned electrical engineers or psychiatrists or whatever, and engage in all kinds of nonsense mental speculation. Knowledge is actually ultimately simple, that there's a Supreme Person and that we're His servants and that we serve Him through the devotees. If one thinks that he has some other type of knowledge which is superior, that I'm a psychiatrist and therefore I know how the mind works and therefore you're all brainwashed and this is all nonsense, there is no God, that ultimately I'm God. So one who has such a mentality that he's on the way to hell. So he may be a very great person in this lifetime, he may be the owner of a big skyscraper building, but if the next moment he dies and has to come back as a mouse in the same building, then what is his benefit? Therefore, one should develop the proper mentality, and the most important mentality is to become a servant of the devotees. Unfortunately, in modern education, this is not taught. One is taught the opposite, and therefore there is no training, there is misguidance. Andaya tandera upigiyamanas te pisha tantra urudami bara. That blind men are leading other blind men, and they both fall into a ditch. So one should not be blind. If anyone's sleepy, they should just stand up. Otherwise, it's like a tug of war between Maya and the speaker. It looks like Maya's winning. That blind men are leading other blind men. And the result is that people are being misled. They're thinking that they're making progress by collecting so many different types of material paraphernalia, but their consciousness is not being elevated. Real elevation of consciousness is to associate with someone who is thinking of Krishna, because this is the method of getting Krishna's association. As Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he saw Vidura, when he came back after pilgrimage, immediately he exclaimed, Vada vidas bhagavatas tirtam bhutak swayam vivo tirti tirtani bhutani swantak stena katabritaha. That devotees, like yourself, they're verily holy places personified. So why are they holy places personified? Because wherever you go, you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart, and therefore that whole place becomes just like a place of pilgrimage. So a devotee, a Vaishnava that's mentioned here, is one who's actually so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that the spiritual world is actually present in his heart. He's actually living there with Krishna in the spiritual world, engaging in transcendental pastimes with Krishna. Therefore, wherever he goes, the whole atmosphere becomes purified. This is the topmost Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava Mahabhagavata, that simply by seeing him, one becomes inspired to chant the holy name, because actually he represents the spiritual world. Therefore, real knowledge is to take shelter of such a personality and to offer, and that begins with offering respects. So Mother Jasoda, she used to chastise Krishna. Of course, Krishna, he was very respectful to the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas. Sometimes he was a little bit naughty though. He would steal butter and yogurt and feed it to the monkeys. And he'd pinch the little babies and make them cry, or put water in their ears. So he's a little naughty when he's a child. So Mother Jasoda knew that she had to correct him. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Misra, he would also correct and chastise Lord Chaitanya so he'd grow up properly. Because Lord Chaitanya is also, because he's Krishna, therefore he was also quite naughty. He used to swim in the Ganges and pull on the legs of the Brahmins when they were chanting Gayatri, or when they protest and grab him, then he'd take water from the Ganges and spit it in their faces and then swim away. And then all these Brahmins would come and complain to Jagannath Misra and say, your son is very naughty. He's doing all these naughty things, pulling on our legs, spitting water in our faces, making fun of us. So you should chastise him. So Jagannath Misra would become very angry and he rushed towards the Ganges. Where is that Nimai? And he had a stick in his hand. I'll smash that little boy for his impudence. So all his friends would say, Nimai, you better leave immediately. Your father's running towards here. He's quite angry. Who knows what he's going to do? And all the Brahmins say, no, don't do that. You know, you might kill him. You know, we didn't mean that. You shouldn't be so angry. No, leave me alone. I'm going to smash that little boy. I'm going to teach him a good lesson. So then Lord Chaitanya would immediately disappear, and he'd suddenly appear on his way walking back to his home, and he'd be covered with dust. He'd have ink blotches all over his hands from writing in school, and he'd be carrying his books. So Jagannath Misra would see this. He'd be struck with wonder, how is it possible that he's at the Ganges? They're all coming here and complaining. Apparently he's just coming from school. He has all these ink blotches all over his hands. He looks like he's just gotten done with studying. So he'd become a little doubtful whether he should punish him or not, whether what the Brahmins were saying was true. But anyhow, sometimes he chastised Nimai, and that night one Brahmin came and said, my dear Jagannath Misra, you should not chastise your son, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is self-effulgent. He has all knowledge. There's no need to chastise him. He knows everything. He says, I don't... And Jagannath Misra said, well... He said, I don't know who this little boy is. Maybe he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe he's not. I can't really tell. But it's the duty of a father to chastise his son, and therefore that I must do it. It is my duty. And the Brahmin said, no, you don't understand. Try and understand. Listen. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He already knows everything. You're just wasting your time chastising him. So Jagannath Misra said, well, whatever you say, I can't really understand so much. But the fact is, it is the duty of a father to chastise his son. Otherwise, he may grow up wrong, and who knows what's going to happen to him. So all night long, they had this argument in Jagannath Misra's dream, and towards the end of the night, the Brahmin, became very happy, and he was smiling, and he left. And Jagannath Misra woke up. So it is one has the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, still, one should, of course, in the mood of parental love, one should correct him, and therefore, this is the example for all parents not to be so lenient. Nowadays, they have these schools of thought, like Dr. Spock, don't chastise your son. Otherwise, but according to Vedic rules and regulations, before the child is 5 years old, he should be left to do more or less whatever he wants to do. But between the ages of 5 and 16, one should become very strict with the child and discipline him so that he grows up and he learns what is actually proper and improper. He's not 5 years old. Little does he know. And then after 16, when the child's grown up, then one should make friends with him. Otherwise, if he's bigger than you are, you may find yourself in difficulty. So this is the Vedic rules and regulations, so that one learns the proper behavior. Not like Dr. Spock, where one says, never chastise your child, he may get some psychological problem. So he's throwing a little gasoline on the little baby daughter and igniting it. But don't chastise him for this. He might develop a complex. Try and put out the fire and say, don't do that, please. So this is all nonsense. So all these children, they're Vana Sankar, they're growing up less than animals, and the parents are saying, oh, we don't want to discipline them. Because they don't know actually how to discipline them or not. They think, let us give them some LSD, keep them happy, keep them tranquil, or give them some intoxication. That will make them more peaceful, and we don't want to discipline. But no, one should act appropriately, and one should instruct one's followers how to also act appropriately. Guru na satsyat, swajano na satsyat, pitar na satsyat, swajano na satsyat. That one should not become a father, mother, a worshipful demigod, or a spiritual master if he's not prepared to deliver his descendants from the cycle of birth and death. If one has dependents and he doesn't try to make all the arrangements necessary so that they become educated in Krishna consciousness, then the result is that one himself will not be able to make any spiritual progress. Well, so we should understand this. We should see the life of Mother Jasoda, and here Parvati is doing her duty, chastising Chitraketu for a seeming transgression of the etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, because Lord Chaitanya is the greatest devotee, and therefore one should not correct a superior, and therefore Mother Parvati is chastising her son in order that he may come to the proper consciousness and become qualified to make further advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
If one sees an apparent mistake in the superior Vaishnava, then what should be the reaction? Do you think, well, it's nothing wrong, it's good?
Or? Well, there's so many possibilities of one should think, well, here's a superior Vaishnava, he's doing something wrong. Well, wrong means there's Guru, there's Sadhu, and Shastra. So one has to see what's right and wrong from that point of view. There are many possibilities. One can approach his superior and inquire whether or not this is the proper activity or not. Or one can even approach him and inquire or not whether this is the proper etiquette, this proper standard. If one does it in the proper respectful or humble way, then there will be no offense. In any case, one should inquire either from him or from a superior in Vaishnava and try to understand whether it's right or wrong, whether it should be rectified or not. The important quality is that neither one should neglect nor should one take an offensive attitude. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Not really confusing, but just like, for instance, say you had a little child and someone came along and hit the little child, and the child didn't really notice it very much. But what would you think? Oh, the child didn't really notice it very much, so there's nothing wrong. But immediately one would feel very offended that my child's been hit by this person. So I must take some action. So Haridasa Thakura, he didn't take any offense, but Krishna did take offense. Yeah, of course, just like Pariksha Maharaj, after garling the sage, he thought, I'll undoubtedly get some reaction for this, but let the reaction fall on me alone and not on my family or dependents. So he became repentant, but he didn't think, oh Krishna, don't give me a reaction. You know, I didn't really, you know, forgive me. I didn't mean any harm. Don't touch me. No, one should understand there may be some reaction, but one has to be tolerant.
Yes.
Some of the books that we have had some experiences in the past, and then because of these experiences, they become a little bit bitter. But not even the right understanding, because one is living in the community, is living inside in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna is taking care, so also the difficulties. Also Krishna is aware of the difficulties that everybody undergoes. So how is it then that quite often some devotees become a bitter? My understanding is not really it means that they not really accept the best of Krishna.
Yeah, one thing is that if one has material motives and wants to do business with Krishna, then when Krishna doesn't supply what one thinks one deserves or one desires, then one becomes angry. When one's lust is not satisfied, then it turns into anger. So if one is in material consciousness, then in spite of the fact that one is performing devotional service, one may not become purified. Because devotional service depends not only on the external activities, but it depends more upon the actual mentality or the consciousness in which one is rendering that service. So if one is thinking, now I become a devotee, there should be no more problems to me, Krishna will make my material life very comfortable and very pleasant. When that doesn't happen, because of one's sinful activities in the past, one gets a reaction. If one thinks that Krishna will suddenly rearrange the whole material nature just to please me, well, he's wrong, and therefore he'll find himself, due to his own misdeeds, facing difficulty. And if one is not in the proper consciousness, he may even blame Krishna or Krishna's devotees for such a situation, not realizing his own fault in the matter, either presently or in the past. Therefore, what can be done? If a child puts his hand in the fire and then blames his parents for it, well, what can be done? That's his own fault. And ultimately the person who's going to suffer is the child, not the parent. Yes? Excuse me? About children putting hands in fire?
Oh.
I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I'll not even be slightly interested. Although I'm attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things that I'm patiently awaiting the Lord's mercy. So there's a quote from that verse, Tate Nukampad. Nukampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evat Makritam Vipakam. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with so many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I am not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not even be slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachment to so many material things. I'm patiently waiting the Lord Krishna's mercy. Anything else? Yes.
Well,
Well, therefore, everyone has their individual karma. Of course, if the parent doesn't train the child, he'll also suffer, repenting, lamenting that I should have trained my child more properly. So it's not that only the child suffers, also the parents or the leader suffers too, but in an indirect way. Just as Krishna suffers also, seeing the conditioned souls misled by the illusory energy. Although he personally doesn't feel any of the chastisement given by the illusory energy, he feels bad, though, that his children are being misled. So there is a kind of reaction. But on the other hand, ultimately everyone has their personal free will, either to serve Krishna or not, and that even Krishna doesn't interfere with. So no one can stop that. And everyone takes their birth according to their past misdeeds, or good deeds, whatever. They take their birth according to their own karma, and they get put into a family a certain situation, get trained up in a certain way because of their own previous pious or sinful activities. But when superior instructions are given, then it's up to the person whether he wants to follow that instruction or not. No one can interfere with that. Therefore, in a certain stage, that the person does become responsible for what he's doing, either correctly or not correctly. And therefore, one should not feel attached or blame oneself. Well, karma interacts with free will and produces different. Krishna arranges the circumstances accordingly. But ultimately, Krishna is in the background. Krishna, it's not that when we come to the Krishna consciousness movement, we're necessarily pure devotees, pure Vaishnavas. But this is an opportunity or a chance, a training for us to make advancements in spiritual life. So, Krishna doesn't arrange things in such a way so that one doesn't make mistakes. He gives full opportunity to make mistakes. Otherwise, there's no possibility of learning, learning to utilize one's free will properly. So even in the Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna allows so much room for mistakes, so mistakes will happen. So we shouldn't be surprised. But these mistakes also serve as an opportunity for those to learn. For instance, one may have a very exalted position and then he may commit some mistake. Therefore, it's an opportunity to become very humble on that person's part. So humility is the basic principle of advancing in spiritual life. One commits blunders, major blunders, because he's not humble. He loses humility, being captured by the illusory energy. One becomes proud and then commits a mistake. And so, after being exposed, that mistake being exposed, then it's an opportunity to become very humble, especially if he's in an exalted position. So there's an opportunity. And those who are followers or observing the situation, it's an opportunity for them to see that even if one becomes obtains a very exalted position, but if he becomes proud, then he'll become cut down by the illusory energy and forced to become humble. So it's inspiration for them also to remain in a humble position and not to inspire simply for some other position. So there's so many things.
Yeah. What about if the child starts performing those sinful activities and the same parents that the daughter should not do it, continue doing it? How old can the parents do it?
Well, it depends how old the child is. If he's 2 years old, he can't refrain from shooting the neighbor. Actually, this is happening even in America. So they're like these children, 7 years old, they watch television and there's so many murders. Like, if you watch television, there's 20 killings every day on television, every hour, some programs. So they think, oh, this is normal, this is what you're supposed to do. But if you get angry at someone, you take a gun and you shoot them. So there are instances of little children, 7 years old, taking their father's rifle and avenging some wrong on the part of the other little child across the way, 5 years old, and shooting them. So, obviously this is not recommended. And therefore the child will be chastised, either by oneself or by the appropriate agency. But the point, but at a certain age, then what can you do? What is it possible to do? All you can do is, just like above legal age, you can't do anything. Then it's up to the law of the state to take care of them. If they won't listen to reason, then the law of the state will chastise them, hopefully. Yes. Well, generally sometimes it's good to avoid people that we don't have a good relationship with. That way we're less likely to commit offenses. Of course, if they live in the same room with us, then it might be a little difficult, you know, pretending, you know, I've been living with someone for 5 years and pretending all the time that they don't really live there. So, sometimes it's necessary to try to understand things more philosophically, become more humble,